And now it's a time for the garden conversation. We're here with Melissa.
Good morning, Aronson, Joni.
And John Norton. Good morning.
Good morning, Joni.
Welcome morning, back.
Is there
welcome back.
Frost on the pumpkin, or
there's some funny white stuff up on top of the mountain peaks.
Yikes.
And I think So today we're going to talk a little bit about what you need to be doing this time of year, and mostly talking with John about planting fruit trees.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
If you've been listening to the weather, looking out the window, paying any attention at all, you know we are running out of daylight and running out of above freezing weather. So make sure that you're getting all of your crops in and stored away as much as you need to. Bulbs that are in pots need to come in and be protected. And this is a really good time, if you haven't done it yet, to take notes. Go through, look at your garden, think about what you planted, think about how it did, try to remember the varieties. A friend asked me the other day what kind of broccoli I had planted that did so well, and I'm embarrassed to say I couldn't remember. So don't do as I say, do as I say. Also a good time to set your goals for the next year. I've offered it before, but if anybody's interested, I do have a little booklet I've put together for my own use that talks about what to do each month, talks about what varieties to plant, some hints about how to make those work, and so on. And if you are interested in getting a copy of that on a PDF, you can email garden@khns.org.
All right.
And I will send that to you. So that's an important thing to be thinking about as we're pulling up here on the end of the season. So, John, you were on a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about fruit trees, began talking about those. If people want to plant fruit trees in the spring, should they go out and dig a hole now where they want to put the tree? What would be the advantage, disadvantages to that? What are some other things that people should be thinking about now?
Well, Melissa, there's a lot to think about right now. and preparing your trees for winter, your existing trees for winter, and preparing for next spring's plantings are the things to get to pretty quick, because we may not be far away from where things freeze up, and it's hard to do any of those things. So let's start out with digging, preparing soil for next spring's plantings.
Okay.
And one of the things that I'm really fond of is seaweed as a way to bring an organic nutrient into what are generally really poor soils in our area. What I find is that I like to dig it in the fall so that over the winter it has a chance to go through that process of degradation, much like you might have with your compost for all of your household vegetables and things. And so by doing that at this point in time, you give your plants an opportunity to access those nutrients from that composted seaweed or other things that you would put into that area that you've prepared. And as we've spoken before, oftentimes in the spring, when there's just so many things to do, that getting that tree into the ground and the ground prepared properly is just something that you tend to find you're short of time and you just make do. And so now's a good time to go ahead and do a good job of preparing. The other thing that I find is helpful about preparing your soil right now is that many of our soils in the area vary in a pretty wide pH range, and you'll find that fruit trees in general, we're not talking citrus, but I don't think anybody's growing citrus up here.
Not outside. There are a few people growing it inside in greenhouses.
Yeah, you can do that for sure. Citrus loves to have a more of an acidic soil. But most of the trees that we consider, the apples and peaches, plums, peaches, I guess that's inside also, but pears and plums and cherries, they tend to be just slightly on the acid side. So what we find when we look at the uptake of nutrients by plants is that if the soil conditions are either too acid or too alkaline, that the plant is unable to transport those nutrients up and its leaves and its stems and such fruits. And so getting that pH in a good spot is fairly important. So if you start this prep now, you can go ahead and make an adjustment for pH. And then in the spring, before you put your plant in, go ahead and test your pH again. And if you need another bit of a bump one way or another to bring it where you'd like to, you have an opportunity to do that. If you wait till the spring to do that pH adjustment, well, if you're off, yeah. It's at the cost of the plant that you just put in. So yeah. Nice to do that ahead of time.
Trees are expensive, and getting them here is no small task. Yeah. So, yeah, it's hard to believe, and on behalf of all of the gardeners, I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm tired. But we'll be more tired in the spring. So, you know, get it done now. Give your blisters the winter to heal up. So would you recommend then that people dig a hole now where they want to put their trees? Or would you recommend that they build boxes where they want to put their trees? Or what's your recommendation on that?
Well, you know, over all these programs, we've recognized that there's a lot of differences in quality of soil in the valley. Mm-hmm. And my home happens to be in a place where I sit squarely on that blue clay. So mm-hmm. if you, you know, take a shovel and stick it into the ground, within 2 inches, you're into blue clay. Mm-hmm. And that's really a barrier to root growth. It's a barrier to water being able to travel. So if you were to dig a hole into that clay, what happens is that it's going to fill with water and it's going to drown the roots of your plant. And so in my case, I needed to go up. And so I ended up going to one of our local sawmills and buying some of those 2x12 boards that they sell here of our local spruce and hemlock, and went ahead and made a box that was 6 foot by 6 foot.
And how tall?
Well, it's a 2x12, so 12 inches tall.
Okay.
2 inches thick. And so what I then did, because soil is so hard to come by, is I used shavings from my wood turning business to go ahead and fill the box. And in the center of that box, I dug a hole and placed 5 gallon bucket full of high quality soil. Mixed it in with seaweed and use that as my place to get started with my trees. And every spring and every fall as well, I would add additional seaweed and nutrients to that. A mm-hmm. Little bit of fertilizer. I use the 16-16-16 early in the spring and midsummer. And, you know, talking about this adding seaweed, I'm very careful not to add seaweed late in the summer as it tends to induce growth.
Right.
And so you'll end up with your trees saying, oh, God, we're getting fertilized, let's grow. Mm-hmm. And then comes October, and they're still in that growth mode when they should be shutting down.
Right, and that's one of the reasons why you don't prune this time of year, because it stimulates new growth, and that really damages the tree over time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what kind of trees do you have, John?
Well, I'm at this point, I've got 4 different kinds of apple. One that's called a pristine, which is a yellowish apple. I've got an Ocony, I've got a Honeycrisp.
Oh, I love them.
And William's Pride, which is, it's a good name for it because it's a great apple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. William must have been proud. I've also got 3 kinds of sweet cherries and the pie cherry that we have here in town. And the mm-hmm. sweet cherries that I have are the Stella and Early Burlap, which are very early ripening varieties. And I've also got a Kristen, which takes a little bit longer to ripen up. So in some years, the Kristen doesn't quite make it. And so I end up, you know, kind of saying, well, we'll dry those cherries and we'll turn them into fruits to add to salads or mm-hmm. other things. Mm-hmm. But the Early Burlap and Stella seem to do really well. And, you know, talking about trees, I get a semi-dwarf tree so it doesn't get bigger than 12 feet. And I always keep it down around 10 feet myself, trim mm-hmm. it down. And, you know, sort of, there's a lot to talk about of trees, but the one thing, since we're talking about wintertime, I want to just mention to folks that if you have young trees, you need to protect them in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And also for the rest of the year. So first of all, when you get a young tree, make sure that you stake it out, you know, 3 stakes driven in with some loosely tied rope around them to make sure that tree doesn't whip in the wind that come by, because that's going to be a stress on the roots. Okay. The other thing is that you'll find that as the snow comes along, it can form those consolidated layers that will strip the branches right off of the tree. So what you want to do is you want to have some way to go ahead and keep that layer from getting really large. And what I do is I take pallets and take two pallets on each side of the tree, and I use 2x4s across them to hold them in place. And that 2x4s break up those layers that want to go down and strip those branches, and the pallets keep it from being a big chunk of icy snow. And so that is an important part of what I do for the first 2 years for my young trees.
And do you put anything inside this sort of pallet fence? Do you stuff that full of, like, dried leaves or anything like that?
I never have, and it seems like it's unnecessary because things have done really well with just the pallets.
Okay.
The other thing that I want to mention in terms of preparing a tree for the wintertime is that I had a funny experience. When we had that snow year where we had 8 foot of standing snow in the yard, mm-hmm. and in the spring, I noticed that there were branches of my cherry trees that were girdled. All the bark had been chewed off of them. And I thought, what the heck's going on here? And it turns out that with that really deep snow, that the voles had found their way through their tunnels and had bumped into a tree and then found a branch and just kept working on it until mm-hmm. they got it all stripped. Because of that concern, what I've done is every fall I go ahead and I have some of that plastic tree wrap mm-hmm. That I can. It's kind of a spiral material that you can buy at the nurseries, and it allows me to go ahead and put plastic around the bottom of the tree until I hit the first branches, and protects the trees from any of those critters finding their way and girdling the bark on the trunk, which will kill the tree. Oh. And I have had that problem.
That's a good idea. Do you then take that plastic off in the spring?
Yes, yeah. And, since we're talking about that, sort of, it's a white-colored plastic, and since we're talking about that, if you have certain trees like pears and plums, they tend to suffer from a sun scald that can happen on those super bright February days where the sun just beams in on your garden, and you go, oh, my, it's 55 degrees in the garden. Well, that will cause a melting of fluids that are underneath the bark, and when it gets down to 10 degrees at night again, it's going to go ahead and solidify that fluid, and that's going to pop the bark right off of the cambium of the tree.
Oh.
And so you're going to lose your trees by what's called sun scald. And so another thing that people do to prevent that is they go ahead and they wrap a kind of a white tape if they're not worried about the critters like I have been.
Uh-huh.
And they take a white tape, and it's a reflective surface so that tree bark with that nice dark color doesn't absorb so much heat. And then it won't go ahead and think that it's time to grow.
And the point that you're making about it being a white tape as opposed to a darker color,
right.
That really makes a difference because that dark will absorb heat and you can really cook the tree.
Oh, yeah.
I have some experience about that, farming in California. Yeah, yeah. So keeping, and then do you take that off the tape? Off too in the spring? Because you don't want to girdle the tree by having something too tight around the trunk as it starts to grow.
Yeah, exactly. Melissa, it's a temporary thing just to protect the tree during those periods of time.
Okay.
So the other thing that, we touched on is about the pruning trees. And so this is kind of a pruning thing, and it's also a protective thing. And when it gets to this time of the year and the leaves have fallen off, I spray my cherry trees, my sweet cherry trees, with a copper solution. And that's because I've had a recurring, in many of the trees that I've gotten, I've had a recurring problem with bacterial blight. And so Bacterial canker, rather. Yeah. Yeah. And so what you see is this gummy stuff coming out of places on your tree, and you go, gee, I wonder why all that sap's there. Well, that's indication that you have that bacterial problem.
Yeah, and if you have bacterial canker on a tree, if you're going to prune that tree in the spring, don't prune it in the fall, make sure and dip the pruning shears in a 10% bleach solution between cuts. Otherwise, you're spreading that bacterial canker from tree to tree, and you can just give yourself an opportunity to start all over fresh because you will have killed everything. We're just about out of time here. I do want to give everybody an assignment for the winter.
Uh-oh.
And that is that if you are traveling anywhere go look at gardens. Go look at what other people are doing. There's a lot to learn from gardeners everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it will also give you hope that we might once again see summer.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, that's a good note to end on.
Right. And if you have any questions, you can email.
Garden@khns.org. And yeah, send us your questions. Send us your observations from your winter travels. And
all right,
we will see you next week.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thanks, Joni.
John.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Joni.